God doesn't die.
Eat rock.
Yo, what is up, everybody? We are back once again. Look, Fetus the Pod, no matter how long the break might be, no matter how long it takes me to do another one of these, I promise you, it'll never go away. I'm just really happy I made this so no one can fucking steal it. Not that they want to, but yeah. Anyways, we are back. This is episode 16. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for the wait. But we're kicking things off again in 2023. Michael Jordan, Space Jam, whatever. Space Jam, the cat, the movie, the flamethrower. It's me. You know me? Hi. But yeah, we have Abby on the show this time. VMP Servo. So for those that don't know, you're obviously going to find out who she is. But she is such a good friend of mine and the scenes in general that I've met. A while ago playing video games, you know, that's how I made a lot of my lifelong friends, and that's why I'm doing this podcast basically. But she's just an incredible person, has done so much for us. It is one of the reasons why Vampire Arcadia is Vampire Arcadia, and she is definitely the fucking reason why our streams run so fucking smoothly. And and shout outs to Lindsay as well, which I do in the episode, for making all these awesome overlays, our designs. So the you know, one of the power couples and Vampire Arcadia that we have going on. There is multiple. But anyways, this is a wonderful conversation. I was very happy to do this. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I think I messaged her a while ago, but it's all good. We finally did it. And there's a other than the episode, another thing I want to talk about is the new arcade opened. This is basically, as I'm speaking, this is basically the second week of it opening. I'm very happy about it. Me and her get to chat about that for a bit, so you hear that in a little bit. But it's really awesome. Shout outs to Jesse. And shout outs to Arcade Legacy in general, because look, if it wasn't for Arcade Legacy or Arcade Legends at first, this is the fourth location now. If it wasn't for Arcade Legacy, I wouldn't have met Abby, most likely. I wouldn't have met a lot of my like close friends that I have now. Thanks. Big shout outs to the arcade being a thing, a place where you can meet people and hang out. And we even talk about it as like, playing games and everything's great, but like, you know, it's the people you meet along the way. As long as they're not like someone that like sucks or something, I don't know. But I've met a lot of awesome people, and yeah. So today you get to listen in on me and Abby, VMP Servo's conversation, and I hope you all enjoy, and I'll see you next time. Peace. There we go. Everybody, we are here once again. Fetus the Pod, episode 16, sweet 16. And I am here with my wonderful friend here, VMP Servo, Abby. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. We both were just on the DoorDash lunchtime circuit, and now I've hit home and I'm chilling for a couple of hours.
Nice. Yeah, this is where the long career of playing Vampire Savior has gotten us. We now are indebted to the gig economy, and I'm not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel. I'm here with you, you know, and it's
That's why we can do this at 1:30 on a Monday.
Yeah, because the lunch rush, the Servbot lunch rush, is over at about 1. We do about 11 to 1. That's one of our first shifts here at the gig economy, and then you know we figure it out after that. But yeah, I'm happy to be here with her today. Oh my God, the gig economy just gets me going.
Great.
Yeah, we're here. We're live. I don't know. Might get evicted in a little. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm talking from my end. I'm not, you know, I'm talking for my guest here. But yeah, FisaPod episode 16 once again. So happy to have you here. Happy to have everyone back. Whoever listens to this, thanks to like the one guy in like Portugal and France that checks this fucking show out. Shout outs to Europe. Shout outs to my like 2% people that in Japan that listen. And we're all over the place. Okay. So anyways, anyway, you're tuning in. I'm happy you're here and I'm happy Abby is here with us today. So let's start. Let's start with like your origin story in general or with gaming included. And did you grow up like Northern Kentucky area?
Yeah, I grew up in Northern Kentucky, like far enough away from the city in Northern Kentucky that it was still like sort of shitty, not super, like it was not rural but not inhabited at the time.
Gotcha.
So I didn't really like play anything except for with like my brother who sucks shit at fighting games. So I played like a lot of Championship Edition on the Street Fighter 2 on the Genesis.
Yeah, that was my first like Street Fighter game in our house was that one. Yeah, hell yeah.
And then when I hit high school, I met a couple of people who were kind of into Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
And talked about it there. And then, like, I remember Lindsay was working at a Game Crazy or some shit.
Okay.
My wife, Lindsay. And yep. She...
Shouts to Lindsay.
They were like, yeah, we're going to hold, like, an Alpha 3 tournament here.
Oh, wow.
And I won that because nobody except for the store manager entered. And I got one of those PS2 6-button Street Fighter
controller. Oh man, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. Was this like 98, you would say?
No, this would have been like 2005.
Okay, because that's just because like that's when I remember Alpha 3 hitting PS1.
Yeah, no, this was like a weird, you know, out in middle of Florence, Kentucky, this fucking the Game Crazy manager who what turned out was like robbing them blind.
Nice.
Just wanted to run a tournament. They also did the same thing with the DDR tournament where I like won because I was the default, the only person that showed up.
Okay. Nice.
But that's all I did until like, you know, until like 2009 when the arcade opened.
Okay. So you, as you said, you had siblings that were, they weren't competent. Like they couldn't even throw a Sonic Boom or there was nothing there. There was nothing going on. So it was just you basically stuck here. So when did you like first meet someone that like a friend that could compete with you that y'all would like, you know, start training together or whatnot? When was that?
That was the very beginning of Street Fighter 4.
That's okay.
That was my friend Jen, we ended up going up to. She's the one that found the Arcade Legacy Ran Bats.
I knew y'all came. Did y'all go to school together?
So I went to school with her brother. Her brother and me have been in, like...
Oh, Steven?
Went to school. Yeah.
Steven, okay.
We met in, like, sixth grade, so I've known her since she was, you know, a fucking little girl.
Yeah, I knew y'all knew each other for a long-ass time.
And then, like, in high school, we started hanging out a little bit more because we were playing World of Warcraft together. and then I think it was her. She was like, I think I'm going to try to get, like, good at Street Fighter 4. And then she did pretty good at the GameStop tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, when we first, like, it was me, her, Steven a little bit less so, and then my wife, Lindsay, were playing Street Fighter 4 a lot.
Wow. Yeah. I remember that era. I did a GameStop tournament, too. I won the one in Finneytown, and then I went down. This is crazy. I went down to somewhere in Northern Kentucky. It was not, like, Covington. It was a little like deeper.
The Fort Wright one?
Dude. Yo, it might have been, and this is really weird. I lost to a Guile player. Did Jen play Guile?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty sure she won that Fort Wright tournament.
I am about 100% sure she fucking beat me. I was playing Zangief, and I was like, "Oh, this is bad," you know. And
because she ended up going down to the Louisville.
Okay. Yeah. I you know, we didn't know each other at the time, but
right,
the more I reflect on it, I'm like, I am about 100% sure she's the one that beat me. Like, I'm pretty, because she was like the tightest one there. Like, I was, you know, watching people. So, yeah, off track, but like, goddamn, I'm about 100% sure, but we did not know each other.
I am almost certain that she was the one who won the tournament, or at least got second. Whatever it was, that she was the one that ended up going on.
Qualified to go, yeah. Oh, that was an exciting time. Like, oh my God.
It was a weird time. That was like my introduction to like the fact that that was my introduction to fucking fighting game tournaments at large, I think.
Yeah. I've dabbled in Kentucky for a bit. Like, I went to the crazy tournament at the Florence Mall Tilt at one time.
That was the mall. That was the arcade that I grew up with.
That one was pretty good. Like, it was the only one I remember having, like, an Alpha 3 cab, like, in the tri-state area.
They had Alpha 3. Like, I think they had it on the big-ass, they had that big-ass American showcase cab.
The Q sound fucking speakers and mm-hmm. shit, the big blue one. Uh-huh, I remember that, and Josh Queen broke it at a tournament because he couldn't do Blanca's electricity. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a wonderful, stereotypical, like, 90s arcade. Like, you could buy drugs in the back and everything. Like,
Before we move on, is there any stories from that arcade that you remember or have?
No, not really, because I wasn't a part of any communities by the time it ended up shutting down or whatever. So it was always just like it was the big arcade experience for me, you know? Yep. You had to pass all the fucking pump it up players in the uh-huh. front who were all insanely intimidating.
And smelly.
yeah, and sweating and fucking, and then you have to go past all of the fucking fighting game cabinets where dudes are yelling at each other, like, you know, 15 years older than I am, and then I'm going back to like the LA machine guns and Ridge Racer cabinets.
Oh bless me. Okay. Cool. I was just wondering, because if you remember anything about the arcades, you know, it's you meet some fucking shady ass characters there. Or friends, maybe they were shady and then became your friend. Yeah, who knows. Maybe that's my story. I don't think I was a shady character. I just don't play some fucking games.
No, there's some fucking shady characters in those places. Oh, yeah. You're not approach the shady character. You're not trying to sell, you're not trying to cold sell kids drugs, you know?
No. I'm just trying to sell you some used AirPods with like some crust on them. Yeah, I made these myself. I put them up on Etsy. Bye bye AirPods. They're used. But yeah. Anyways. Thanks for that. What we were coming to before I start talking about arcades and stuff is like first meeting people in the scene. So you were already like you and Jen were like, you know, kicking it, playing games together, saying you both want to get good at Street Fighter, and you kind of were undertaking that on yourself, right? Undertaking without a Sarah tattoo on our necks. But traveling... He did. So Street Fighter 4, and then... So y'all traveled to the GameStop events, and then after that, did that start to be, like, arcade one times?
Yeah, it was around... I think that's when Zach got together with Jesse at the arcade and started running those Ranbats had all of those games when they first started. I think it was like in the beginning of 2010 or something like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing on SRK, I remember seeing Arcade Legends post on there, and then I saw like the list of games they had, and I'm like, oh man, we got to do this. This is it. This is our ticket out of the dark ages, you know, like,
yeah, for sure. And like that and it for all intents and purposes was like the fact that we still have it's crazy, you know.
It's everybody out there, last Wednesday we just had our first inaugural fight night at Arcade 4, which is fucking crazy to say. A lot of us here, we're talking about the beginnings of Arcade Legends right now. Like, me and Abby have known each other for, like, decade plus now, would you say?
Yeah, right around there. I mean, I think that we probably actually started hanging out or talking in, like, 2012,
mm-hmm.
2013.
Mm-hmm. It took a couple of years for everybody to, like, really, I guess, let their guard down and just start partying and get to know each other, because... At first, you can come into these things, and everyone, you know, the initial plan is everyone is playing the game, you know, but everyone wants to win and be the best and all that shit. But then once you actually start to get to know people, That's when the real fun kicks in.
Like for the next 10 years or something, I would just be terrible at talking and meeting people in general, you know, because it's like,
okay.
I think that I spoke to Zach like on a personal, like we didn't introduce each other, introduce ourselves to each other until we ran into each other at Seasons Beatings that year.
Oh, wow. No fucking shit. Really?
Yeah, like, we had just essentially, like, came as our own little party from Northern Kentucky, and we're just, you know, head down playing games and for the longest time. And then, you know, that went on for, like, a year until we actually started regularly talking to people. I think maybe I was in the SRK thread a little bit. That was probably the most I did.
Yeah, I remember your name on SRK, and then I remember seeing like you. I remember seeing Jen. I remember seeing Zach. Like, I remember seeing all of you, and you know, we didn't know each other or whatever. And I was just like, you know, didn't think anything of it. And then, you know, later down the line, we all become like, our whole group's like a bunch of best friends now,
yeah,
you know?
No. For sure, like one of some of the, like, except for the aforementioned Steven and Jen, like the longest group of people that I've known for, you know, the longest. And it's like the closest people
mm-hmm.
That I know all came from that pretty much.
Yeah, I was saying at the Arcade Wednesday, I was like, I'm so happy to, you know, have another place to go to do this, you know, to look for something to fucking look forward to weekly in this crippling state of the world we're in. No, it's wonderful to have all of you. And I really feel like I've been in a hodgepodge of a bunch of different groups in my life. And like the arcade scene, especially with, you know, meeting like you and the AL or like original AL group, like I really felt like I found my fucking tribe, if you would, you know, like that's really like y'all get me and vice versa. And it's just, I feel so good about that. But like, yeah, first meeting everybody at Arcade Legends, I remember that first Street Fighter 4 tournament, the big one. Do you remember that?
Probably.
Okay. I'll try to go into a little more about it to maybe see if you can remember. I remember like All You Card came down. I remember what's his fucking name that was a real shithead? Gin Master and Wolf Crone. All of those motherfuckers. All of them were there. And I remember that motherfucker. I remember Gin Master talking so much shit online. And then he met me, and he's like, oh, you're Yeti? I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, I thought you'd be smaller. And it's weird. Like, I've encountered this from other people in the scene before, like, all this online shit talk. And I'm not, like, a fucking tough guy, you know? Like, my Steam name is, but, like, I'm not, like, a fucking tough guy. I don't want to fight people and shit.
Right.
But, like, this guy was, like, really trying to heckle me.
Well, he was legendarily a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, Gin Master was, I think, maybe the first person that I can remember coming into the fighting game community and everybody being like, oh, hey, like, from the East Coast to the West Coast, which there was a big communication disconnect at the time, everybody was just like, hey, don't fuck with that guy. Like, that's...
Yeah, everybody knew about his fucking antics, and there was a story about him, like, going to, I think it might have been Texas Showdown, but it was a Texas tournament, and he made these big bets playing Tekken, and he lost all his money, and the lore is that he supposedly had to stay there and, like, wash dishes to get his way back home, wherever the fuck that was. But whatever. That guy, yeah, if there's anybody I don't like in the scene, it's fucking him. I don't think there's anyone that was more revolting in this whole scene than that guy. So fuck that guy. But that was a good tournament. I remember Vulcan. Do you remember Vulcan, Steven?
I do remember Vulcan.
He beat him. He knocked Gin Master out of the tournament with Balrog, and I remember, like, me just popping the fuck off and, like, telling Jesse, like, dude, you gotta give this kid some extra money. And there was a bounty. Jesse did give him, like, I don't know, store credit, $20 or something for not winning a tournament, but for beating him. And I was like, you know what? Good. I remember that motherfucker went outside and fucking cried afterwards.
Jesus Christ.
Gin Master. He was on the phone with someone that cared about him, which is insane someone does. But anyways, everybody's got somebody. But no. Yeah, fuck that. That tournament was just important because I do believe that was the first like big Street Fighter 4, because as you said, like, we had people that were not just locals showing up. So that's when I first was like, this is really something, you know, like, we really got something here, because everybody's motivated. Street Fighter 4 just came out. It was an exciting time. And we stuck with it. You stuck with Street Fighter 4 more hardcore than me. I'll never forget. You've probably whooped my ass harder than anyone in that game. Seth versus Zangief is a...
Oh, that's fun.
I was getting toe-tapped. I was getting danced on. But Abby Seth is fucking nasty. You're nasty at that game anyways. How much time do you think you put into Street Fighter 4?
Fuck, dude.
Zach had it clocked one day for him. It was insane. He showed me his time.
I don't know, because it's definitely the just game curious. I probably have played the most.
That's why I'm asking. Sure. That's why I'm asking.
It was, you know, in the period of my life between the time when I was, like, 19 and, like, you know, 23 or whatever, I had the least amount of shit to do.
Yeah.
I definitely put over, like, I probably put over the 10,000 hours or whatever.
Okay.
Like,
the master status. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I would just play that game for fucking like 8 or 9 hours a day for no fucking reason. Because I was working from home. I was working a shitty little part-time job from home at the time even. So it was like I really didn't have anything to do.
Nice.
Except for play Diablo 3 and Street Fighter 4.
Nice. I that game definitely hit, I feel like, at the right time for a lot of us, because I just remember there was so many nights where we would have different groups of like our fighting game friends. We had people that were Street Fighter heads. We have Tekken heads. We had shit Soul Calibur, Guilty Gear heads. Everyone was playing Street Fighter 4. Yeah. Like, that was exciting to me. Like, that was so fucking exciting. Like, everyone from any walk of gaming was playing that fucking game. And I was like, man, you know, if anybody actually gets good at this, like, there's like this chance that you can, you know, be someone that like makes it, I guess, in this. Little did we know anything. Yeah. Little did we know anything about that side of it either. It's just, you know, everybody was like, this is a potential, thing that's, you know, that's possible. Like, that was kind of the start of like esports and fighting games, right? Wasn't that like kind of the,
Yeah, that was, I mean, it had been around, but that was definitely, like, the first time it was able to think to be co-opted with such a huge game.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 4 got so big.
Yeah. That's when the grifters started, you know, rubbing their hands together, you know.
They're yeah, like... at least they graduated from being, you know, the Gin Masters to the fucking, you know, now you're getting grifted by... What was it? Avid? What was the name of that?
Oh my god, AYVD. I remember the like ads from like Combo Breaker or something, and it was like, this is gonna be the new thing, and I didn't even know what the fuck it was. I was just like, oh, it's sponsoring.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for paying me like indirectly, I guess. But
like this and Scion or something.
Like, guys. I hope this isn't cryptocurrency. Just looking down at it, like, I hope it's not crypto.
I mean, I hope everyone's learned their lesson now, but, you know, then and even a couple years ago, everyone's like, oh, this is, we can make more Lapchi bucks or whatever that was. That was yeah. never, I'm not sold on money that's not money. That's kind of, you know, hey, hey, it's me. Do you remember me? It's like, you know, like, it's crypto. It's, yeah. The money's like, hey, do you remember me? Well, this is new money. This is this ain't no smoke money. But yeah, okay. So basically, we're going off, and that's great. I was just wanting to talk about like, I guess the very beginnings of AL and like your journey kind of with Street Fighter 4. So you said Seasons Beatings like your first like out of town, like you're planning on playing in a tournament.
Yeah, that okay, was like,
okay.
You know, that was, we were going because it was the closest mm-hmm. big thing, you know.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, my God.
And also, the Red Roof Inn let you book a room without being 21, which was like a big fucking deal for a lot of places. I remember being like stoked about that because I would always look at these tournaments and then be like, you like in Chicago or whatever, you would have to like go two counties over to book if you're under 21 at the time, which I was. It sucks so much shit.
Holy shit, I didn't even think about that, I guess. Wow. I was pretty intoxicated for the whole season beating saga, so I was like, man, if I know someone with a room, I'm going to get real wet and fucking crash. And sure enough, did. But man, that was just a giant fucking party. It was all that was.
That was an incredible, like, and what a great hotel for it. That shitty little Red Roof Inn with the outdoor rooms so that you wouldn't have to deal with, like, smell complaints for the most part or any of that shit.
Smoke a cigarette right outside your door. It was great. Yeah. Like, now we got so by the way, everyone, we have a Red Roof Inn next to the arcade we have now. You're right in the middle. We're right in the middle of a Baymont and a Red Roof Inn. So pick your poison. Whatever
Cracker
you want.
Barrel.
Yeah, and we have there's crack on the left and Cracker Barrel right staring right in front of you. So we get whatever we want here. But yeah, we didn't leave too far from our roots, I guess. But no, I mean, I remember the things I do remember about Season's Beatings is I had a lot of fucking fun, and I met a lot of people. Whether I ended up forming those relationships there or not, I just remember seeing everybody. I remember meeting many people. I remember seeing you there because I was like, hey, I you know, that's Cincinnati,
that
you know, it's
like,
you know what
yeah,
I mean,
like the genesis of meeting a lot of people going there and being like, oh shit, you came from there to here, mm-hmm. So I guess we should talk now.
Yeah Let's stop being fucking weird about this and
yeah,
crack some beers and smoke together. How much weed do you think VMP smoked in the course of these decade or so? It's I don't know.
Just at events or...
Yes.
Like, collectively? I don't want to think about that.
That's actually a question I have for the end of this, but I just procked it now. Because I was like, I didn't even think about that. Like, I don't even know if I... Well, I've seen, like, pounds of weed, but I don't think I've smoked... You know, I'm not smoking it in one session.
Collectively, it's more than a pound, for sure, at tournaments. I mean, we use... to allegedly not, we haven't ever done this for real, we used to allegedly bring like a quarter with us, and I think that got upgraded to a half at some point.
Oh, that wasn't enough.
Yeah, and now that you can go a bunch of places and just buy it at the store, like, it's just real easy to go out and smoke weed, so
a lot
is the answer.
Okay, yeah, yes is what I was expecting. The recent combo breaker, getting to go to the store and just buy stuff. That's just kind of crazy. I mean, I'm glad it's there.
It's great. Like, I'm old now, so I can't drink like I used to.
Oh my fucking God. I got at tournaments, I used to go all weekend, right? And that was a disaster, like waking up outside and stuff. But I do like one night. I got like one good drinking night. It's usually, what would that be? I guess Sunday.
Yeah, usually
after everything's done
for me.
Fuck yeah, absolutely. So, all right, cool. Let's talk about you're traveling to events, and let's talk about like you, what you do for Vampire Acadia. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Abby VMP Servo. She has been basically manning the boards for us, like, the whole fucking time. And, like, yeah, you see Abby at events. Abby comes and parties with us and everything. I'm talking about Abby like she's not here right now. But
you're supposed to do it. Keep going.
You're damn right. But just an extremely important, vital role to VMP, to Vampire Acadia. Abby does shit that, like, I don't do, I can't do. Also, Abby's probably... listen to me talk in the headphones more than probably any fucking body in this whole scene. So thank you for putting up with my shit for so long. And I always have a blast, and I always know I'm in good hands when I see that you're the one running the fucking show. How any feelings towards that? How did that start off? Was that when like you and Zach basically were like, we're doing this together?
Yeah, so like, realistically, it started in 2013 with I think a Death and Rebirth.
Yeah,
And Zach being like, I want to stream it, but this is like a weird little tournament and we're not spending any money, so we're not going to get anybody to stream it.
For sure.
Who's going to do
it?
I
was just like, I'll sit down and do it. I don't really, like, sure, whatever. I'm going to be helping out whenever I can or whatever anyway, so. And then I think the year before that, we were trying to stream a little bit at the arcade, so he had reached out to Spooky, and Spooky helped us build a stream computer and all that shit.
Yeah.
And put everything together. So we had all the equipment, and in 2013, we just started.
Yeah.
Then it kind of, we just didn't really do much except for, like, if we really themed something around Vampire Savior. Until 2016, I don't think we had our own channel. We did that on the Arcade Legacy Twitch channel.
Oh my god. And funny thing, I went back and I think COVID, you know, I started getting nostalgic about things. Mm-hmm. And I went back and watched some of those, or what is salvaged of those old, awful quality Arcade Legacy streams. And as you mentioned, Spooky, there's a video of him on there for Power Up. And he's on the mic. We could not get the mic to even fucking work. No one knew shit. And he got the mic working. He's like, hey, it's Spooky. He's like, we're trying to get this set up for Vampire Savior here. And I was like, oh my god, everyone looks so fucking young. This was like, what was it? This was probably 2012, I think, as you were saying.
I think it was Power Up 2012.
Yeah. But that was crazy. I mean, we've come quite a long way. But so we would say, I guess, our first, like, official, like, Vampire Arcadia streaming, when did you say that would take, when that took place?
That we made it for the first Mekai.
Yeah, my god, that's crazy to think about.
Like, Zach was, at the time, we used to just kind of sit over in his apartment and, like, play Vampire or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just like, I really want to run, like, a Vampire Savior specific event.
Yeah.
And he was like, but I don't, like, it seems like a lot to do. And I was just like, I mean, yeah, but we're probably, like, in position to do it more than most people are.
For
like,
sure.
We have access to the arcade. Jesse has several boards. He's got all these arcade machines he would be willing to use.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him both have a VSAV board. We have all this arcade shit. So that's how that kind of all started, is him just being like, I think we should do it, and me being like, I mean, okay, I'm if you want to do it, I'm there. I just don't have any fucking money to throw into it.
Yeah. And so yeah,
that was sort of his, you know, he led all of it and funded, like, the majority, if not all of it. And I was just I ran all of the production stuff and then tried to run, you know, the backbone as much, and then running around helping, as doing whatever I can as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I remember how, you know, especially like the Saturday tournaments we would have. So we would be streaming like other games. And I remember there was times where, like, I remember you, like, just, like, yelling at some of these fucking kids to, like, get their shit together. It's like, we're running a fucking stream. I don't want to be here till 1 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, we gotta load in, we gotta load out, and all that shit.
It takes time. It takes a lot of time and effort. Yeah, it's a long fucking day.
Mall, look, a lot of people, they love the mall.
Oh.
That's because they didn't go to the mall every fucking week for, like, 8 years or whatever, you know?
Absolutely.
I am so done with the fucking mall.
You're just over it.
It was the worst thing to do anything in. It was always bad, and it was just like, it was. So yeah, I was not going to.
No.
I was not going to sit here while
no.
these people fucking drag me down to being in this goddamn mall until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I was.
While the pissed off fucking yokel security guards yelling at me.
I love that you were putting those motherfuckers in their place. Like, hey, you got to play your games, because beer closes at midnight around here. All right, we got things to do. You got to get the fuck out of this mall. But I like what you said there. I like that you said, like, I don't miss the mall right now. I mean, okay, shout outs to everyone that's been there, everyone that enjoys it. We love it too. We love it for what it was, and we understand why people love it, and we, you know, we loved it as well. But yeah, you know, when you're locked in the concrete cave for 12 plus hours, sitting there, and then, you know, whatever the temp, here's the thing with the dead mall, whatever the temperature is outside, it's worse inside of the mall.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter if it's hot or cold, whatever the temperature is, it manages to be worse
inside. So if it's hot outside, it's hotter in the mall. If it's cold outside, it's fucking tremendously colder in the mall. So yeah, we have
holes in the roof and shit.
So yeah, there's
all of the air is wafting in.
Yep. There's like pelipers dropping rocks through the fucking window. It was it's a wild place. People lived in there. The Dead Mall is an incredible monument. It's like I hate to see it go, but I'm happy to see it leave type of deal.
Got to utilize it the way we did.
Yeah. Sure. No, I when I was a kid, like, you know, that was one of that was the mall. Yeah. That was the
fucking mall around here. Yeah, totally.
So I, you know, that meant, you know, as weird as it is, like, that meant a lot. And I was like, I really, when the arcade first moved there, I was like, it's really fucking crazy how full circle things have come with this arcade shit, especially, like, you know, locally. It's like everyone remembers Time Out on the Court, you know, like, whether you were like being a fucking arcade rat there or not, like, everyone remembers that place because it was like a fucking amusement park, especially especially for this part of the world. It was something free you could go do. I mean, yeah, playing the games costs a little bit of money, but, like, you know, it was something free, like, the family could go and do whatever the fuck they wanted, and it was an incredible time. So actually having it come full circle and then having that mall you know, host things like Power Up and whatnot, where we had, you know, quote unquote big players come through, it's like, you guys came to Time Out on the Court whether you knew it or not.
Yeah, you may have thought this looked like a Debs, but this is actually this was actually a long time ago an arcade.
Oh,
there used to be a fucking you know, there used to be a roller coaster out there.
Yep. So I was thinking the other day, so I remember the area where we had Power Up 2012, it was the Steve and Barry's. Arcade Legacy, where we were, that was an old Deb. Wasn't that a Deb? I do remember. I was right about that. Okay. Yeah.
But we would put up the foldable tables into the one changing room that got left up.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's right. It had the mirrors and shit.
Had the mirror in the back. Yeah.
But yeah, we've moved on from the Dead Mall. But everybody that got to, you know, party there, play games, hang out there, shout outs to you. Shout outs to the Dead Mall. But we are happy to see that fucker go because we have a new place. But
After Nakai, I think we reached out to Combo Breaker.
Okay.
We were like, hey, I think that you only streamed like top 8 of Vampire last year. Can you just give us like a place and we'll stream all the pools or whatever, and then somebody else can stream top 8?
Yeah.
And then when they Rick got back to us and was like, actually, like, do you want to stream all of the old games? And it was like VSAV, Third Strike, and ST at the time.
Yeah.
And we were like, I mean, fuck, sure, why not? Yeah, and that's what essentially kicked all of that off.
Yeah. I remember what year was that?
It was 2016.
That was 2016 was a big one because I remember we had responsibilities, and then I remember that was like my first like actual commentary gig, and I'll never forget that going. They were like, oh, James Chin's waiting for you back there. And I was like, oh, what the fuck? And me and him got to do it. And that was really fun. But yeah, after that, I was like, we're going fucking full steam ahead. And from 2016 until fucking COVID, we were consistent, you know? Like, we pulled a lot of steam. And then Makai 2018, Makai 2019 was fucking huge. Yeah, we have a lot of momentum. We still do. I'm not saying we don't, but I'm saying, like, done some pretty cool fucking shit, you know? Like, there's been a lot of cool opportunities that we got created, but also, like, yeah, as you said, reached out, and Rick, shout outs to Rick. He put us on, you know? Like,
yeah, no kidding. I mean, we're on the site for Combo Breaker, and it got announced today, so, like,
I still haven't checked it. I gotta check that, but everybody go check that out.
Yeah, that's obviously hugely important, like, for us, not even in the sense that that's, like, you know, the VSAV, that's the VSAV,
mm-hmm.
like, giant major tournament or whatever, but also in the fact that it was, you know, more or less responsible for kicking us off streaming stuff more, you know, in a more serious capacity.
I find that so amazing when I, you know, actually sit and get to reflect upon it, because it's like, I mean, Combo Breaker's fucking huge, man. You know, like, it's so big, and we, you know, we've been since the first one, you know? We've been since UFGT, totally. Which is, I still find it fascinating that UFGT started in Cincinnati. I still find that fascinating.
And it was Midwest Championships before that.
Yep, Midwest Championships at Nickel City in Chicago, and then it did what it did with UFGT, and then, yeah, became Combo Breaker, handed the reins to Rick, and like, yeah, I'm happy that we've been doing it each time. Like, he basically put us on. He, you know, he checked our shit out, of course, to make sure we were legit. It was like, if there's one thing Vampire Arcadia does, I want to tell everybody this right now, we know how to run a fucking show. We know how to put on a show. We know how to do it. You got Abby fucking doing the damn thing behind the boards. You got Zach running around like a chicken with his head cut off. No, he knows what he's doing. Organizing things, and then everybody else that helps too. It's just we got a little, we're like a little band that goes on tour, you know, and everybody has their different roles, and we pack up the shit, go play the show, and then, you know, come back home.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing that we have over a lot of people, is we have our small little team of people that are all incredibly flexible.
Yeah. I find that a very, very special thing to fucking have, because it's like, I mean, we can, you know, you could always get people outside of your, you know, little company or group to the LLC that is Vampire Arcadia, the MLM that is Vampire Arcadia. That's what it is. Yeah. The multi-level marketing scheme. What I really want to say is, like, I'm happy that the things we have done, the things we are going to do in the future, and I'm just real happy to, like, be a part of it with everybody, because I think look, not to toot our own horn, but I will toot toot, I think we're incredible. And if you want your shit done at an event, right, we do retro, right, and, you know, fucking get us, we'll do it. You just gotta you know, you pay for the accommodations and stuff. We'll talk about that later, right?
It is the most fulfilling, like, work, you know, I have done.
Okay,
for sure.
I guess that's what I was really trying to get at. It's kind of like how you feel about it, like everything that you've done, and also with like Frosty's on the horizon, basically getting hired to do that as well. Like that makes you, you know, makes you feel. How's that make you feel? Like, makes you feel good or
oh,
whatever?
Great now, because I've been unemployed since fucking September or something like that. So
there we go.
Wasn't going unless I got paid to go. So I'm super happy to go. And yeah, like I was saying, it's like I work in IT usually, so it's like,
yeah,
you know, the most soul sucking fucking,
yeah,
like the worst, just having to deal with awful fucking people all of the time. So
yeah,
it's like having an outlet where I can go do work that
fuck,
I'm like,
yeah,
happy and proud.
Proud,
of,
yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Fucking. That's so. That was big.
Yeah.
For me, starting around then and still going, luckily.
Yep. I mean, we play Vampire, but working in IT, you're dealing with different vampires. So it's like you're still used to it. You're a vampire survivor if you've worked in IT and still lived to tell the story. You've been playing some V-Serve. So, yeah. No, I just want to constantly, like, this is your episode, okay, so I just want to constantly, like, compliment you on what you do, and I'm just so happy that you know that we have you doing what you do for Vampire Arcadia and for, you know, other things, other events. It's an invaluable role that we need, and that I'm so fucking happy to have, because as I said, all I do is fucking sit here and, you know, jabber jaw. I just talk, and unfortunately Abby's had listen to me for
that's
like,
obviously, but that was a 10 know, years. That's hugely important as well. I thank you for saying that. But yeah, like, we've all, that's the one thing about all of this is that we've all had our fucking, you know, strength.
Yeah, Yeah, that's
our shit that wouldn't have looked nearly as entertaining or good if it wasn't.
Let's go, like, Lindsay.
Luke and Luke, you know, on the commentary, and
then
Lindsay is making all of the art for so long, and then all of the motion graphics and all that shit was just her going out on her own and being like, you know what, I think I can do this, and then doing it for, you know.
I definitely would be remiss if I did not mention Lindsay. Lindsay, Abby's wife, if y'all do not know, Candlelight Cat, she does incredible work. All of our t-shirts and designs and layouts on the stream have been done by her throughout this past however many fucking years we said. She does it, and she keeps it fresh. There's a lot of times she'll do shit that's even just like, you know, changing the background for, you know, it's seasonal, you know, or just right, like for just for an event, maybe just for one event, you know, for just Makai, or just really putting a lot of this work in and just doing it because, you know, she's badass at what she wants, at what she does, and helps us out big time. And yeah, look, Abby and Lindsay, this is a whole big loving family we have. You know, it's like Abby, Lindsay, we got the Bellamy's, you know what I mean? We got Zach, you know, we got young Leah. Zach and Leah, exactly. Everybody
Leah's like essentially the to us running live
exactly
events.
Leah coming out to all the live events the past couple, you know, since fucking Combo Breaker, you know, like just everybody really fucking putting shit in the hat and like helping out. As I said, yeah, I'm very fortunate to be part of this friend group and everything. But yeah, it's really cool. Like Lindsay, I actually asked her like shit when I first started doing this. I was like, hey, do you want to do the pod? She's just like, not right now. Like, yeah, I understand. So, and then I finally got around to getting Abby on here. So yeah, I'll get everybody, don't worry. But I wanted
she'll come around eventually.
Yeah. You know, I want to get everybody on here for sure, but I wanted to just talk about her just for a minute because she's extremely important to what we do, what we've done, and yeah, moving on with the future. So let's go a little bit into kind of the other side of what you're gonna see Abby do going to events. So her role and you know, making everything look nice, making everything, you know, making the stream fucking work in general. Let's talk about, you know, playing the games a little bit. So any memorable moments or like greatest victories you would say you had, anything you like really hold dear, like, yeah, I fucking did that.
You know, I am fucking so notorious for flaming out during actual majors. You know, fifth place, ninth place, that's where I'm comfortable at. Major wise, I got second to Zach at Michigan Masters 1 year. That was pretty good. But I think probably the happiest that I ever was with performance wise was in like 2019 for a couple of months while we were doing like our monthlies and shit.
Yeah.
I was able to win the local monthlies, which meant that I was beating you, Zach, and Ethan regularly during that time.
I remember.
And even though it wasn't like, even though it wasn't a big tournament or whatever, that was probably the highest consistency I was playing and, you know, placing at that time skill-wise. So that's probably the time that I was the best, like actual position wise.
Gotcha. I feel that way too. And you know, we just started having locals again, and I only really press buttons in person when it comes to fighting games much anymore. So I feel like if you can hang with everyone you just mentioned, including yourself, I felt like I could hang the other week, and I haven't played for a while. I was like, look, these motherfuckers will get you up to speed real quick, you know? Like, if you're playing,
you'll get your muscle memory pretty quickly.
If you're playing Zach, Abby, my brother, if that's my core, like Jordan, if that's my core of people to play every week, like, dude, you're going to get fucking good. Like, whatever I forget filling off the training wheels, like, it's going to come back fast, so having a group of people like that are so fucking good to play with, yeah, it definitely feels like, as you said, like winning a local or whatever meant a lot, because it's like you're beating motherfuckers that are winning tournaments, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah,
that,
like,
that feels good.
I definitely have, like, a, you know, a hard time controlling my tilt while playing, like, on a big stage or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why the locals is just like, fuck that. Like, you know, I got, this is my, like, baseline skill reading of how I felt like I was this couple of months. I think I'm actually better than I was then now because I've been playing the game so much. But,
yeah, I think so, too.
So has everybody else, unfortunately.
Yeah. One thing I want to mention is, I don't know who knows this or who watched, but if so, you should go back and watch the Vampire Savior 2v2 tournament from East Coast Throwdown that happened 2022. Yeah, it was a great time. We all went to Connecticut and did our thing, and Abby is the only person, I think, the whole weekend that beat Nakanishi on stream in the team tournament. So yeah, there you go. I think how did that feel? I've always wanted to ask you that in like that the, this great. Setting.
Yeah, fucking wonderful. You know, that's like a wonderful validation because I haven't played. You know, yeah. Like they said, I played when, you know, Takahashi and Mob came to Makai. I played a couple of them, but you know, that was at a point in time where I was kind of like super burnt out on the game.
Oh,
like,
God, sure.
Like, you know, not really. I stopped kind of playing in tournaments for the most part and just kind of going and doing production for a little bit.
Gotcha.
But yeah, going in, it felt good, you know, like I don't mind that matchup if I can get out of the fucking unblockable, and thankfully
yeah.
I got out of the unblockable the one time, and
put that fucker in your unblockable.
Yeah.
There you go, that's the match.
A couple of unblockables, yeah.
You and, did.
Also, like, I have trouble slowing down, and I stayed, you know, the correct pace for that entire match.
Yeah.
And made only a couple of, like, real bad IED decisions, so... That is probably an example of playing really well. Yeah,
it's a crowning achievement. I was on the mic for that, and I was like, oh, like every hit, I'm just like, hang on, she can do this. Like, oh, she's winning. Oh, please don't. Oh, you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the fun thing about that match is
gut wrenching.
Knocked down, and he can do my entire fucking health bar. You know, like. And it's fucking Nakanishi, so he's going to do my entire health bar, probably.
Yeah, he's the Energizer Bunny. That motherfucker gets a couple batteries, and then it's over. Like, he will just run you over. That I'd say he's probably the best player in the world currently, and probably has been for a couple years. There's a few people I would say that can compete with him. But yeah, taking games from Nakanishi... yeah, I just wanted to know how you felt about that, because I was like very happy for you. I was like, this is blowing. This will take the energy. You know, this will blow the roof off the fucking venue here. It was pretty incredible. Like, everybody was like getting hype. I gotta go back and watch that again. I went back and watched it once with my like awful hoarse voice.
Sunday Luke.
Sunday. Hey guys, I'm Sunday Luke. I'm gonna sell you a pack of cigarettes at the Red Roof Inn.
You tried this time around. You tried to keep your voice, and it's so hard to keep in you.
I just, look, I like to party, you know? Like, I like to have a lot of fun when I go to these things, and there's one thing I have, one of the hardest opponents other than Nakanishi is yelling. Like, I like to yell when I'm not at home. You know, unlike my downstairs neighbor. But I have to really keep that in check. But you actually are one of the people that really look out for me in that regard. You know, I remember one of the events I lost my voice next time. You were like, hey, you brought honey or something for me one time. And yeah, you're really trying to keep me on track there. So now I keep it in my head, and I always bring honey or lozenges or I need something, you know.
Just keep that shit coated. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, keep that. I'm not the throat goat. I'm the throat coat. That's me.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Just hang your hat on that.
A little bit less boring.
yep. But yeah. I'm just like happy for what we're doing in the future. So, What is lined up for you in the future? You said Frosty Faustings, right?
Yeah, we got Frosties and Combo Breaker right now. And then as far as I am aware, a like mysterious May date that hasn't been elaborated upon anymore. That's going to happen in Cincinnati, Ohio.
First
week of May? Is that what it is?
Let's
see here.
I
probably know this.
Go for it. I've heard, you can look it up. I've heard tell. I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything, so I'm not going to, I guess. But ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes and ears peeled. Keep your
eyes
peeled.
May 5th through the 7th.
Okay.
The unnamed event that has, you know, happening in May. Don't fucking think about it too hard. You'll understand.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on actual word for that to be announced. But
okay.
Those are the three things that we have. I mean, obviously, that's going to be the one that's probably going to be the most work or whatever. But
yeah. No, we're gonna do the damn thing. So, get ready. We're gonna do some shit there. So either we got a Drury Inn and Suites, which is basically
you're gonna be surrounded by shitty food. There's a Rally's over there, you know.
Is there a Rally's over there?
Apparently there's a Rally's you can walk to over there.
Okay.
You got a Speedway, so you can go get some taco rollers.
Oh yeah, the Tornadoes or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beef and cheese. Be careful. That's all I gotta say.
But the fucking arcade, at least, is insanely nice. Like,
yeah, and
it's such a step up, dude.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the new arcade location. It's really fucking cool. There's a upstairs and there's a downstairs. So far, the like fighting game cabs and our fight nights kind of more so downstairs. But there's a really big like bar area on that first level as well, and there's like a room with like all the arcade games, and then there's another room that's like the store itself, and then we're also gonna get the Amazement International Church, which is next door, and we're not changing that to Arcade Legacy. It's just gonna be an Amazement International Church for when people come into town and everything like that, so get your spirituality right and whatnot. No.
I think there's an ice cream shop down at the end, too. But I think it is part of that church, so I wouldn't go in there.
Is this an ice cream church?
I think it's part of, like, the church where that's maybe how they make some of their funds. I'm not sure. It seems like it because there's, like, a weird, like, cardboard sign down at the end that's, like you know, like...
That's like, where they're making their hedge funds or something. I don't know. But we're supposed to get that building next door too, so there's like even more room, so it's not complete yet. Like the food and like the like alcohol, I guess they're waiting on the liquor license or something. I think John said
I think
that
it got approved, but ooh. Yeah, I think it's not in place yet.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I know it
Me
costs
neither.
Costs a lot of fucking money, and you can't fuck up, so you know, don't fuck up for Jesse, everybody. We respect his spot so much. I remember one time he kind of caught me brown bagging. This was years ago, so I'll talk about it. And he looked at me. I felt like my dad was scolding me. I felt so bad. I was like, I'm never doing this again. I'm never. It's like Steel Reserve belongs outside or in the car. It doesn't belong. But it doesn't belong in a 38-year-old's body. I'll tell you that
much. Yeah, that's right. That's why they took it. That's why they ended it.
That's why I'm gonna make it to 40, Kevin. He keeps pushing that shit back. He's like, you got to make it to 40. I'm like, nah, I'm having a rager at your house when I'm 39.
He better watch out. He's got his dad gut. Who knows what the fuck's in there.
I think he'll survive. If something happens, I'll just like puncture it, let like the steam out, and it'll like heal itself somehow. It's its own little ecosystem. Yeah. I have a couple more things for you, Abby, if you do not mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
So... basically, I want to say, what would you hope for the scene, Vampire or Beyond in itself? And then, you know, we have Street Fighter VI coming out. What do you hope for, like, the scene in general, for yourself and or just the greater good of things? Anything you're looking forward to other than those upcoming events and whatnot?
I mean, we're going to be set up at the arcade, so, you know, we'll have a better stream set up there that we don't have to fucking break up and down. That'll be real nice.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll just be nice, like, in general, because we'll be able to stream anything that happens there and sort of, you know, rebuild that sort of, you know, showing off people who are actually good at games around here, you know?
Let's go. We got some talented folks.
Other than that, I mean, not really, you know? It's like we play like a 30-year-old game. It's sort of just like, you know, I'm happy to hang out with people and see people a couple times a year anymore. And, you know, like, that's just...
Yeah.
As long as we can keep doing that, and it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. I mean, all of the fucking Combo Breaker hotels sold out in like 2 minutes today, you know?
Oh, my God. My God. Awesome.
I'm just hoping those dudes keep doing what they're doing, and then we keep showing up and doing what we're doing, and hopefully it maintains, like, you know, this fun little community that we have that's cool to hang out with a couple times a year.
Cool. Yeah, I am so happy that, like, look, ever since Scribble Jam went away, I haven't had anything to do in Cincinnati, and it's funny, that shit ended 2008, and then 2009 is kind of when, you know, arcade shit started popping off, so I've always had something to do. But yeah, I'm happy we have that, and like, I always obviously look forward to seeing, I definitely look forward to, you know, with having the new arcade, having a spot to hang out every week that's not an apartment, that we can kind of while out and have fun and congregate there, you know, and then we're gonna have booze there. It's gonna be great. Like, I'm so excited about the arcade. If we didn't already talk, we already talked about that before, but I'm excited to have that. And then obviously, like, yeah, traveling for events and, you know, seeing people we see, like you said, like two, maybe three times a year, having that on the roster. And always having, like, Combo Breaker to look forward to. And, yeah, potentially we are doing something coming up here. So, yeah, just keep your eyes open for that.
And, like, I'm also just, like, having more fun playing the game than I ever had before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
There was so much period of time where I think you talked about, like, you were touching on it earlier, where everybody kind of, like, looked at fighting games almost as, like, this way out, you know, back in 2009, 2010 or whatever.
Definitely.
It was, like, that definitely led to a lot of people, myself included, ended up tying, you know, you end up tying your worth to fucking fighting games entirely too much and shit like that, you know?
That's you not fall what you...
And, mm-hmm. Rise harder than, you know, you way fucking should with fighting games, and I've now, like, sort of gotten all of that out of my system in my older years, so mm-hmm. now it's just like, I'm happy to go
you're
play
chilling
the game,
yeah,
party a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I see that in you. I definitely do, and I feel like I see that in a lot of us. I see that in myself as well. I feel like I don't think I ever got too crazy, but, like, I definitely beat myself the fuck up over it, you know what I mean? And I've seen you do it, I've seen a lot of people do it, but I feel like now, as you said, yeah, getting into our more formative years here, you know, I am just like, dude, I'm just so fortunate to be able to have these people in my life and to have these places to go and just fucking play games. I'm in my late 30s, like, I'm still able, you know, like, I have the privilege to do this, you know what I mean?
You know, the previous generation or whatever has wrapped up their life at this point or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that I'm in my mid 30s and going and hanging out with a shit ton of people that I like to see all of the time, several times a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, having something to do while we're hanging out is it's fucking huge.
Yeah. I like what you just said there too. I feel like now for me at least as well, it's like, you know, playing the game or whatever, it's just kind of like the centerpiece we kind of congregate around, you know? And, like, during, you know, playing games or whatever, like even last Wednesday, I had so much fun just doing the rotation, playing the games with you guys, but, like, just talking shit and having fun the whole time, you know, just talking and getting to hang out with everybody. That's definitely my shit, you know? That's definitely what I like. I've always loved that part. But I feel like I never really sat back and looked at it that way. You know, in my early 20s and whatnot, I was I was more like, yeah, I want to win this bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like
you
I
want to do both. You want to do, like, yeah. Like, you know, you want to have fun, and then also yeah. It's like, well, if I don't win this, then what the fuck? Like, nothing matters, whatever. And it's like, actually, well, you know, it's just.
Yep.
Don't invalidate all of the fun you just fucking yep. had, you dumbass.
And that's, yeah, that's coming at it from a more mature angle. Because, like, yeah, if you're, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, if you're not, you know, if this isn't paying all your fucking bills, like, dude, there's no fucking need to beat yourself up about not fucking winning. You know, this shit ain't paying a mortgage anyways. I mean, it helps. Like, but, like, at the same time, like, I don't go into these events with that mentality. And I think it also helps that, you know, like me and you, like we do other shit for the scene, you know, just instead mm-hmm. of playing. Like I love, we're always going to play. I think at heart we got into this because we are competitive people, but not in the way of like going on a job interview and they're like, are you a competitive money-driven person? No, I'm fucking not. I'm not. I just like to have fun and hang out. And yeah, I do get competitive, but it's not all about. If it was about the money, we would not be doing this still, you know?
Right, yeah, no, it's not, not like, the right scene for yeah. that, you know?
Yeah, this is not the you know, MMO, this is not the MLM scene, the MOBA, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but, yeah, I'm just, yeah, as I said, like, being part of something, it's like they said, you gotta be part of something, it makes you feel good. And yeah, once you come out of your like when you're in your 20s, you're still a fucking teenager mentally. I'm sorry, that's just the fucking truth. That's how I feel, at least. That's the truth, Ruth. But like, yeah, you get later in your 30s and stuff, and you start being more reflective, and you're like, I actually just really love these friends, and I actually just like really hanging out and mashing some fucking buttons, man. You know?
Yeah, it turns out this is all I really need, you know?
Yeah, that's the drug. That's all we well that and some weed, but like that's all we really need. Is that camaraderie and the friendship and just spending the time together and stuff. And if I'm sounding a little too like Mr. Rogers, like go fuck yourself. You know, Mr. Rogers was sick at fighting games, like Rumblefish 2. He was so good at that game. But yeah,
give me a second. I gotta go piss real quick. Sorry.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
And you won't get food for 6 months to a year.
We'll be right back after this special message.
So tonight, we're taking on the Japanese sensations Antonio Inoki and Giant Baba.
I think it's not true. It's like yoga and Milky Way. No?
Yoga Flame. No, I think
that's what Street
No, the one guy is named after a city in Wisconsin. I know that much.
All right, yo, we're back. I take a break real quick. But once again, I'm here with Abby, and we are going to start wrapping this pod up. But yeah, once again, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, fuck yeah. We've been wanting to do this for a while, and then, like, you know, motivation started waning on my side, and blah, 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 right? As we said, yeah, welcome to the late 30s. But
yeah, exactly. Another big thing that I fucking learned is just take breaks.
You have.
I fucking grind myself into the ground anymore, you know?
Nope. I enjoy it. Look, like I keep talking about last week, the first time in the arcade, and we'll see each other again this Wednesday, but like, I was so enjoying myself playing, you know what I mean? By not like bashing my head into the wall constantly, you know? Like just chill. I was happy with whatever was happening, and like it was just, I don't know, we were talking about this before the break, but like just a different, when you get older, it's a different approach on things that like, I don't know, it's just, you just learn to enjoy shit. And also, I'm going to say this, one thing that has helped is me not looking at social media every single day. I'm not going to be a fucking miser on that. You do what you want to do. But I'm saying that, like, it's just, I've taken a step back from it, and it's, I don't know, I can, like, enjoy things. So.
Yeah, in my ass, it was going to therapy.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that was like, oh, yeah, that was me slowing down and realizing that I needed to chill for a while, you know? That was me, like, going,
Yeah.
Shit that we should have probably known and done in our 20s anyways if we're mentally healthy enough or whatever. But
agreed.
Instead, it's like spent my 20s, you know, fucking everything up.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
And now it's like, all right, well, now it's time to
fix
get
it.
My shit in order. You know?
Yep. That is, I'm, yeah. Oh, my 20s, I did not care. I was just loose cannon. Like, I did not care. But now, yeah, it's time to start thinking about those things. And, you know, you only YOLO once, you know? So you can't, like...
That's right.
Yeah, like...
There's a reason Kevin says you're going to be dead at 38.
Yeah, that was because I was in the back of his car chugging Steel Reserves and smoking a half a pack of cigarettes. And, yeah, if I would do that until... we'll see. I'd probably last till, like, early 40s. But I stopped and da-da-da-da-da. But, yeah, just starting to be more reflective on things and just appreciating what you fucking have, I guess, you know? And, like... I don't know. Once again, I'm just happy to fucking be here. But I'm getting to the end here, everybody. So Abby, here we go. Where can we find you if you want to be found? Let the people know.
I am at Servotronic on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much my only
okay.
social media anymore.
You don't have a Mastodon?
Don't I? You know what?
I don't even know what that is.
I do have something on that FGC network, instance, Mastodon instance or whatever. Uh-huh. But every single time I'm on there, I just want to post the dumbest shit and leave. So I end up I just don't get on there.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. I haven't made one of those because I guess everyone's like fuck Twitter. I understand like fuck Twitter and billionaires and all that, but I haven't made a new account on any social media. So yeah, that's where you can find her, if you want to find her. And I got another question for you though. Pretty serious matter. Me and Abby are both pretty big wrestling fans. So if you could pick someone, who is your favorite wrestler from Ohio?
Wow.
I know.
Favorite wrestler from Ohio.
I knew this would be one hell of a question for you.
That's a lot of wrestlers.
I know. I'm making you pick. We got a lot of hometown heroes, don't we?
I know. I'm not even going to look it up. I'm going to see what I can think of.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Actual wrestler, probably one of my favorite actual technical wrestlers is Chris Hero. That's a Dayton boy right there.
Oh, shit. Okay. So you would say Chris Hero?
Yeah. Let's see here. Who else?
I want to touch on one thing real quick. So supposedly, correct me if I'm wrong, I remember this. Didn't you play Warcraft with Brian Pillman Jr.?
I played World of Warcraft Classic with Brian Pillman Jr.
How was that experience?
That was an experience, all right. I was a better mage than he was.
Did you say sucks at Warcraft?
Look, I'm not going to go out and make such bold statements as to say somebody sucks at Warcraft. But yeah, he was not very good at Warcraft. He was not a very good World of Warcraft player. And it turns out, that's just on tier. That guy was... Now he's wearing stop cancel culture T-shirts and shit like that.
Hang on, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck him then. We don't have to be so fucking nice. Oh man. Oh, that's. I don't keep up with all these people. It's a shame when I hear who's bad and whatnot.
He had some mutual high school friends that I did, and then had some people that at my last job. I guess he worked at that last job before he went back into wrestling or something.
Wow.
So I ended up in that Warcraft guild, and yeah.
That's always interesting.
He was the frozen touch mage, or whatever. I can't remember what the fucking spell was, but there's a spell that you have to give the shitty mage so that they put a debuff on there. He was the one that had to have that.
Okay. I'll have to be honest. I don't know anything about World of Warcraft.
Oh, I know you don't.
But I thought it was fantastic when you told me that, and it's definitely something that stuck. And he sucks. Did it stick? It stuck. No, he sucks. I didn't know. He sucks. It's hard. It's hard to remember. Keep track of people that you don't know. I guess, and their antics and stuff.
You know what? That's okay. It's okay to not know what Brian Pillman Jr. is up to. I think.
What do you think of Al Snow?
I think Al Snow sucks shit, dude.
Yep.
I've
other than the gimmick.
Yeah, he had the gimmick.
That was it.
And you know what? I'm sure he's probably like one of those dudes who they're like, you know, he's like an insanely safe wrestler or some shit like that. But yeah, I don't care. All I remember is, where the fuck is he? He's like from Xenia, Ohio or some shit like that. I remember
Lima.
Passing. Lima, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I remember,
or Lima, however you say it. Yeah.
The highway sign when I was a kid and being like, that's where they say Elsinore was from.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll never forget this. There was this flyer. I went to indie wrestling show years ago, Price Hill Wrestling, by the way, and there was a flyer that said, it's gonna snow in Cincinnati.
Ooh.
And I'm like, whoa, hang on, if they mean Al Snow, you know, I gotta go to that.
That's big time. Is he gonna have head with him though?
Yes. It wasn't that great, really. It was, you were just kind of waiting for Al Snow to come out at the last match. You know, it was going to be the last match at Price Hill Wrestling. And he came out, did his thing, and, you know, you went home after $5, you know, whatever. Not a big deal.
I bought tickets to go get an autograph, and it was probably like in 98 or 97 or even maybe from the New Age Outlaws.
Oh, my God.
And in the process, in the time of me buying the tickets to go get their autograph, Road Talk got picked up on his cocaine charges.
Oh,
and
here?
No, but they had to cancel it, so they ended up sending The Rock instead.
Oh, well, so did you get his autograph?
I did, yeah.
Oh, shit, you still got that?
I maybe.
That's probably like 20 years ago, yeah.
If I do, it's sitting on like a pile of autographs that I also have from like the Nitro Girls.
Oh my God. Did you get, what was DDP's wife? Did you get her?
Kimberly?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I used to have them up in like my childhood bathroom. I had a bunch of pictures of, it was like one with me and one of me at like 9 years old and Kane. Like sitting there, just like the fucking fattest 9-year-old you've ever seen, with next to Kane, the most awkward picture in the world.
He was like, "This boy was eating some Kane's chicken here. Like, what's going on?" Nah, man, that's fucking awesome, though. Wow.
My mom was one of those people who would always do the. I did not give a shit about autographs, but she loved them, so she would always get autographs. Or me for her.
Oh, so, I see. Okay.
So I went to a lot of dumb bullshit like that.
Nice. That sounds good. A star-studded event.
I met the Four Horsemen at Crestview Hills Mall before, like the old Crestview Hills Mall down in Northern Kentucky.
I'm not even hip to that. I'm really not. Yeah, it is. That's amazing, though.
That was a weird time. Pretty sure I had like Ric Flair's autobiography in like on a bookcase.
Oh,
and it was signed by him.
That's magical.
It shouldn't be fucking reading that.
Nah, not the way he went around doing his thing, swinging around. No, was this the like Steve Mongo McMichael Four Horsemen era?
It would have been Mongo.
Awesome. That's the best. Okay, and another, I guess the other guy we don't want to talk about too much. But I don't like him. I remember me and you were playing.
It's pretty easy to say.
You know, I don't like Chris Benoit. Fuck him.
That's the easy one to draw the line.
It is. It's real. You know, moral. No matter what your moral compass in, that thing spins around.
Who
like
you are.
Yeah.
That Chris Benoit is no good.
He's terrible. I remember me and you playing WWE Crush Hour for Dreamcast at your apartment, and I picked Benoit, and boy, was he a fucking menace. Like, holy shit. I forget what his super move was, but that guy is an absolute menace. But, you know, enough of that. I want to mention one more thing. It's an experience. With my friends I've known for a while and have traveled with, there's many experiences I have with all my wonderful friends on this show. And I like to mention, you know, I like to mention things that we've done together. And this is something I have no video evidence of. We're going to have fucking audio evidence of it because it's just not me talking shit. So we went to final round. And this will be the final thing we do, okay? And I'll let you go. We went to final round. It was me, Zach, and Abby. Or not final round. Climax of Night in Atlanta. Me, Zach, and Abby from Cincy. We drove down, and on the way back, me and Abby knew that in Ackworth, Georgia, Scott Steiner owned a Shoney's. The Steiner brothers actually owned a Shoney's. And lo and behold, we go to this motherfucker, and Scott Steiner is working the fucking breakfast bar. And
he's refilling the eggs.
And they were hot. This is the best French toast sticks I've ever had. And you say you got all these wrestler pictures and stuff, and I'll have to say, the times I have met, I've met a lot of, like, rappers and, like, some other famous people, like that Kevin Smith encounter. A couple other famous people, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not, like, super blown away, you know? But these motherfuckers, wrestlers, number one, they're intimidating. Number two, you've been watching these guys on TV for your whole, literally my whole life.
Yeah.
And we knew it was him. It was him. And I remember going to the breakfast bar, and I was like, oh, he's...
Well, I remember...
It was crazy.
Walking into the Shoney's,
yeah,
and not seeing Scott Steiner, and then you were essentially like looking into the back of,
yeah,
the Shoney's, and you're like, I think I just fucking saw Scott,
yep,
Steiner.
I saw that blonde hair. Yep.
And I really just wanted to go because, like, I know he had a big container with like a bunch of his titles in it and shit like that.
And his chainmail, yeah.
And his chainmail helm and everything in there.
Yep.
But to actually see Scott Steiner doing the store manager duties of the Shoney's while we ate at the breakfast bar.
Incredible.
One of the most bizarre feelings, yep, and situations I've definitely ever been in.
He was aggressively bussing tables, and I just, like, he did that next to us, and I just was like, I remember sitting there with Zach, and I was just like, you were at the breakfast bar. I was like, I cannot believe this right now. And he just starts laughing. And
freaking out, dude. Like,
yeah.
That is insane.
How did that make you feel in that moment? I know we've probably touched on this before, but, like, I walked out of that motherfucker, like, halfway on this car ride home, I'm going to wish we got a picture. But right now, totally. I feel really fucking weird. It made me feel... I've never felt, I guess, so intimidated in a, like, celebrity or, like, human being's presence. Because, like, I'm a pretty chatty person. I'm not, like, scared to, like, approach people. I don't mind confrontation most of the time. But that's a different story. This guy has a special move called the Steiner Recliner. I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm not a lazy boy, you know?
He's also doing his job right now.
He's got
a blank look in his face.
Exactly. Exactly.
Of just like, I don't know what's going on in there.
I don't
have no fucking clue.
I don't know if he hates everything at this moment or if he's just like, this is the fucking life, you know?
Yeah, this might be like everything he's ever wanted, you know? Yeah,
just chill, you know? He was doing everything in that shit, though. Like, he was cooking, he was replacing the eggs and those wonderful French toast sticks. I wanted to give him a wolf pack, but I remember we went over to that little showcase area where he had all his memorabilia and stuff, his belt and his helmets and chainmail, and his wife came over.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, hey, you know, Scott's here, right? And I was like, yeah, I said hi to him. You know, I felt so weird. I didn't want her, because she would have brought his ass out and we would have taken a picture.
Yeah.
But I just felt really weird. He's working. The dude's literally working. And I'm like, I already said hi. We can tell the tale, you know.
You had a little conversation with him up at the breakfast bar.
Yeah.
I heard it. You said hi. I'm a big fan. And he said, thanks.
Yeah. And
enjoy
I'm like,
yourself.
Yeah, he said,
enjoy the eggs.
Absolutely. He said, enjoy the breakfast. And I was just like, you know, that's good enough for me. But the fucking world, you know, the world can believe me if not. But right here on this episode of Fetus the Pod, this is evidence.
Record.
This is evidence. Yeah. Another fucking record. We met Scott Steiner. You know, we didn't meet Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner served us breakfast.
Yeah.
All right.
Patronized him. I was a patron of his
establishment.
Establishment.
Yeah.
I affected his bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. that's the other wrestler. Yeah, I was gonna say that's another one. Yeah. But no, you knew I was gonna bring that up. That's just always something I wanna mention.
It was wild. It was a wonderful moment of just like, I'm pretty sure this is off of 75 and we're on 75 right now, so, and then looking it up and it being like 15 minutes along the way where we were going.
Right on the way.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Perfect.
situation that we ended up in.
I remember looking at the Yelp reviews and they're like, this lady's like, the manager, Scott, is just a sweetheart. And I'm like, this is about to be crazy. You know? Like, this is going to be some surreal shit.
Motherfucking Scott Steiner.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean, sweetheart. This guy fucking dismantles people. He's bad at math. But he
wants to kill Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he's called him all kinds of terrible words that we can't say. And yeah, I'm happy that we got to look, Abby. I'm glad we got to share that experience together, along with
me. It's gone now, so
we can reflect on it, and that's the best all of you motherfuckers are gonna get, because I don't have a goddamn picture. But this is a moment in time, and yeah, we're gonna reflect on it. But hey, Abby, that's all I really got for you right here. I want to say, all the events that have run smoothly from us are because of you doing it. It seems to be thankless work, but I love and appreciate everything you do. And yeah, you've had to deal with all kinds of stuff, but we're still here and we got a lot to look forward to. And thank you for doing this once again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So yeah, that's no problem. That's pretty much all I got for you. But I hope everyone enjoyed the episode. Yeah, anything else you want to say before we do our final words here?
No. Just fucking, you know, just keep on keeping on.
Keep the joystick warm. I don't want to quote Mike South, but I guess here we are.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, yeah, that was on Going Down South.
Yeah, but he's canceled.
Yeah, he's fucking... Yeah, just like Brian Pillman Jr., Mike South is canceled. So, thank God Donkey Kong Jr. is not canceled. Probably my favorite Jr. Yeah, he's going to do something bad, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Abby, once again, my wonderful guest. And, yeah, we're going to see each other, like, in 2 days, right?
That's right.
Sounds good. We'll have fun. It's all love here. We're going to beat each other up at the arcade. Not for real, but in the game. And we're going to hang out and enjoy ourselves. So, two words, everybody. As always, have a nice weekend.
Have a nice weekend.
Absolutely. And I will see everybody next time. Thank you for tuning in. Peace.
Later.
Bye.
I'm living and you're dead.